As I said, Vanessa and I were in a conference this weekend with pastors and a lot of speakers trying to figure out, you know, what they're supposed to do, whatever. That's a lot of speakers. I'm telling you, I've been in conferences and sometimes if you have so many speakers, man, your back hurts because you've been sitting down for a long time. You know, your backside gets flat and hurts. You got to move around. Then there were hardly any breaks and stuff. And so I was just like, man, Lord, I don't know if I can retain all this stuff. And so I was thankful that my wife, this is what I love about my wife. She is, you guys don't know, because you see her, she's sweet and she's great or whatever, but I love this about her. She likes to, which I'm not very good at, but she likes to do things that surprise me, that I don't know about. You know, she'll do something that'll surprise me. And I'm like, hey, where are we going? And she'd be like, you just sit there and I'll take you. And I'm just like, well, I'm getting nervous, you know? And so one of the days she said, she goes, are you ready to go? I said, where are we going? She goes, you just get in the car. I'm going to take you somewhere. And so we got in the car and we were driving and just talking or whatever. And what I love about her, she took me to, which I've never been. We've been to Arizona. We've been to, where do we go to see the Grand Canyon? Oh, yeah, but where's the city? In Flagstaff, whatever. Went to see the Grand Canyon, but I've never been to Tucson. And I've never been to Surprise, Arizona, where the Rangers play. So she took me over there to the Rangers over there, and we took a picture over at the Rangers. And then, because we are baseball fanatics, she drove me over to where the Diamondbacks, where Chase Field, over where the Diamondbacks play. And so she goes, we're going to eat lunch over here today. It was a total surprise. I wasn't even expecting that. But as you know me, anything you say or do can be used in a sermon illustration because that's how I operate. And so I was standing there at Surprise Field, the Surprise Arizona, where the Rangers start. That's where they play their spring training. And then 28.9 miles away from that field is the Diamondback, is Chase Field. And so the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, this is where it began for the Rangers. And this over here, Chase Field, is where it ended for the Rangers when they won the championship. I was able to see, the Lord started speaking to me. And so I was thinking about this. Just think about this. The Rangers had no idea that they were going to win the World Series. They thought they were, but they had no idea. But it started 28 miles away and surprised at the stadium. Surprise Stadium, and they were surprised. They didn't necessarily know they were going to win the World Series, but 28 miles away is where it ended. We know that they became world champions. Yeah. But in between the first spring training game that started February 24th, all the way over into November 1st, where they won the World Series, there were games that were won, there were games that were lost, there were injuries, there were errors, there were all kind of things that were, Lord began to speak to me. And so the truth is that all between there was victory in hand. They won it all. They took it all. And so the truth is, as I was thinking about it, our life is just like that. We start off with not knowing necessarily what's going to go on, but if you read the end of the book, you realize that we win it all. We absolutely win it all. So some of you are at a place in your life where you realize that there are some issues, that there's some errors in my life. There's some things going on in my life that are not good. There's some problems, some things that are going on. There's some things that are going on right now that I don't like. There's some things that are happening in my family that I don't like. There's some things that are happening in our finances and in the country and in the city that are not good. But if you look at the end of the book, we win. We win it all. We take it all. Simply because Jesus came out of the tomb and he holds all power and dominion, and all of it belongs to him, and we have taken it all. The championship has been won, and he reigns supreme and rules over all the cosmos. Amen. And so it doesn't matter. So some of us are in the battles even right now. We win some, we lose some. There's some things that are going on, but we win. I'm gonna tell you, you're a winner. Is it true? we went. I'm telling you what, there was stuff that happened. You can go back and watch some of those games. We're like, how in the world did we win the World Series? Seeing some of the games that we played. The truth is, it doesn't matter what happened in between. What happens is that we won it all. And God has said, I have sent my son, and he died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. But that life isn't just for you. It's supposed to go out and tell other people about it. Amen? So we fight. Paul says, I'm not fighting as one who beats his fist against the air. There's a purpose to my fight. He goes, I know there's problems and issues and obstacles in my way. Thus, I press on. Everybody say, press on. I press on. Some of you are in the middle of a battle right now. Some of you may be weary. Some of you may be tired. But I want to tell you to press on simply because God, the God that's on the inside of you, is greater than the issues that are on the outside. Matter of fact, he said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so you may be fighting a battle, maybe, but you're fighting a battle. So you think you're fighting against people, but you're not. You're fighting against the enemy of your soul, which is the devil, who wants you to lose. He wants you to get defeated and be defeated and walk in defeat and walk with your head down because he knows his time is short. So he's going to do everything he can to stop you from walking in the purposes and promises of God in your life. But the truth is, even though John 10:10 says the thief cometh not only before to steal, kill, and to destroy, he says, but I have come. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So the life that he's called us to live. So that doesn't mean, no, you don't fight. You got to fight and you got to be strategic with your fight. Colonel West is here. I'm sure the troops that he led, there was strategy that had to be involved in the fight. You just walk in there willy-nilly and just start swinging. That's got to be some place where you walk in and you realize, hey, listen, we have won, but there's got to be strategic plan. And God gives us strategic plans. Not only give us strategic plan, but he gives us strategic weapons. So turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to get into the word, and we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, I don't know what part this is. But anyway, spiritual warfare. We've been talking about it for a while because we're fighting. And just by a show of hands, while you're turning Ephesians chapter 6, just be honest, and it's not an embarrassing deal. How many of you are facing something right now that you need to get the victory over? Just be honest. I'm raising my hand. And that you need to get the victory. I'm not talking about, it's like, wait, are you talking about sin? I'm talking about everything. I'm like, what is it? Everybody's facing something that they need the warrior God to step in because the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? Well, you need him to step in. And so we're going to read it. So just as I'm getting to the word, we're going to look at verse 10. But I want you to look up here just for a second before we read verse 10. Just the last time before you look up here, we're going to read. Ephesians is one of my favorite books of the Bible. Let me tell you why. Because scholars say, when some of our professors at Southeastern University, we were talking about the fact that when Paul wrote, who wrote most of the New Testament, when he wrote Ephesians, it was like the cream of the crop. It was like the cherry on top because he spends the first half of the book telling you who you are in Christ. He spends the first half of the book saying that in him, and not only does he tell you who you are, but he prays prayers that help you realize who you are, that you've been seated in heavenly places, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened in the knowledge of his will, that you would know the hope of your calling, that you would know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. He spends the first part of the book, and he's telling about that. Then he talks about husbands. He talks about children obeying their parents. Then he says, at the end of the book, he says this, verse 10, finally, that's what you would say at the end of a letter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. Everybody say the whole armor. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, here's what I want to say to you, that you need to hear this. Speaking on this, where when we're talking about the armor of God, you got to realize it is God's armor, right? It's God's armor. It's you say, well, but it's God's armor. Well, the truth is that he's telling us and that when we put on the whole armor of God, that it is his armor. And I know a lot of people think that, well, the reason why Paul did that is because he looked around and saw all those Roman soldiers that were walking around. Those soldiers had on breastplates and they had swords and they had helmets. But that is not at all, I don't believe, because Paul was taught, the Apostle Paul and all the believers were taught to go by the word of God. Matter of fact, he tells Timothy, preach the word of God. So they would go through scripture. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul would use different terms. He would use military terms and he would also use athletic terms. Like for instance, in Colossians, it says, "But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Now, that word rule, if you look it up, which I insist that you do, don't just take my word for it. Everything that I'm preaching, everything that I preach on Sunday morning, don't just be like, well, the pastor said it and it's good. You need to go back and study yourself. I'm going to say that again. You need to go back and look at it yourself. Yes, I'm studying to make sure that I'm showing myself approved, but go back and study it yourself. And so that word, if you look up rule, that's an athletic term. Let it rule in your heart. It's like, if you look it up, it says it's an umpire, like an umpire at a baseball game. Either you're safe or you're out. So let the peace of God, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's an athletic term. In Philippians 4:6-7, you've heard this from before, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. Everybody say guard. Will guard your hearts. Now that is a military term. That's Paul's using military terms where he's saying, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Say you're safe or you're out, and also guard your heart, simply because he says also, guard your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life, all the issues of life. So guard it. You got to. So this is a military term, and so he's telling us that. So we had to be on guard. And the other thing is that we got to understand that God, with all the stuff that's going on, that's trying to come against, as Lewis said, coming against our family, coming against our kids, coming against your marriage, coming against your mind. He's saying this also. Guard. That's why he says this in 1 Corinthians 14, that God is not the author of confusion. So when you hear terms like gender confusion, God is not the author of that. Amen? He's not the author of any of that. He is, this is what it says, not the author of confusion, this is what it says, but of peace, as in the churches of the saints. He is the author of peace. So going back to Ephesians 6, when Paul says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, these are not suggestions. These are not recommendations. These are not insinuations. These are directives, as if he was directing someone to getting ready to go to war. He's saying, finally, brethren, listen to me. Above all else, you need to listen to me. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and know that the battle belongs to the Lord. But at the same time, he says that, to be strong and walk in his might, not in our own might, but in his might. Amen? And so Paul getting these terms and these imagery, not from the Roman soldiers, but he gets them from the scriptures. So this is what he says in Isaiah 59. This is what the prophet Isaiah says in 59, verse 15. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He, this is the Lord, saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing. This is where Paul gets this imagery from. He doesn't just get it from looking at Roman soldiers. He said, the Lord, our God, put on a helmet of salvation. Our God put on the breastplate, a breastplate of righteousness. And not only that, he put on the garments for vengeance. And then, if you go to Isaiah chapter 11 and go down to verse 4, it says, but with righteousness, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod out of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be his belt, be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. You see where Paul is getting this from? He's getting it from the word of God. He's not getting it from just looking at Roman soldiers. People say that. And then he's talking about the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is in Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says, Zion, your God reigns. So all The armor of God is coming from, now again, not Paul looking at soldiers, but looking at the God of our salvation, the God who reigns, the God who loves us, and put on his armor. How many know it's better to put on his armor than try to put on man's armor? David tried to figure out the hard way because he tried to put on Saul's armor. He said, I've not tested these. This is not for me. So that's why you got to put on the whole armor of God. It's God's armor. Well, why would God need armor? Well, this is the truth is, if you look, go back and read those scriptures in Isaiah, God is putting on armor and he's coming against the people of God because of their rebellion. Go back and read it. If I had time, I'd show you. But he's coming against the people of God because of their rebellion. But then in the New Testament, he's giving the armor of God to his people so that they can go out and fight and do the things that God's called them to do, empower them to fight. Amen? So I'm gonna take on the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God. Going back to Ephesians chapter 6, and he says this. Where does he start? He starts with the belt of truth. I would think that he would start head first, right? But he doesn't. He starts with the belt of truth. How you know, just what it says. He says, therefore, taking on the armor of God, you may be able to withstand your loins, verse 14, stand there, having girded your waist with truth. How many know that we need the truth? You're going to need the truth. Now, listen to me. This is what's important. He starts with the belt of truth because the belt is what holds all the armor together. And it's not the truth that I know that makes you free. It's the truth that you know that makes you free. And let me just tell you this, it's not your truth and my truth or their truth. It's what's not just true for you, it's true for me, what's true for me and my truth, whatever. It is the truth. You need to know the truth. And it is not a thing, but the truth is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And here's the truth. Nobody wants to hear the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. Let me walk in lies. Let me walk in. If the truth will make you free, then a lie will keep you in bondage. Is that true? The truth defies all the lies. That's why you need to know the truth. That's why we speak truth here on Sunday morning. That's why when you hear certain things, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's not true. Let everybody else be a liar, but God be true. You know who you need to, the first person you need to be found out to be a liar? Is you. Because sometimes we lie to ourselves. Is that true? We lie. So we need to hear the truth. He said, the belt of truth. Gird your waist with truth. You need to hear the truth of God's word, the word of God, and what he says about who you are and what he's called you to do. The truth of that. The world needs to hear the truth. Needs a proclamation of truth. But the truth is, people don't want to hear the truth. But you should know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Which really should read, you sure know Jesus, because he is the truth, and Jesus will make you free. That's why it's important for us. So he starts with the belt of truth. Then he says the breastplate of righteousness. We're going to focus on those three, and then next week I'm going to talk about the other three. The belt of truth. Then he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. How many know that when you talk about the armor back in the Roman days weighed about 70 plus pounds? So you try to think about walking around with 70 plus pounds. I know the rucksacks and different ones that people in armor, they were way more than that. But the truth is it weighed that much. And the belt of truth helped with the breastplate of righteousness. That's what we learned in seminary. We learned that the belt held the breastplate up because it weighed so much. And so you need, if you're trying to carry your own righteousness, it's going to be heavy. But he says that your righteousness is as filthy rags. That's why he has made us righteous. He has made us right. You can't do it. He knew I can't do it. You can't do it on my own. I am not righteous. But because of what Jesus has done, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Because of the price of Calvary and the blood of Jesus, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus because of what he has done. Amen. So the breastplate, I can carry that. And it protects your heart. It protects to guard your heart with all the righteousness of God. It is his righteousness, not your own. Isn't that good news? Because my righteousness is nasty. You know what I'm saying? It's not good at all. Yesterday, I cleaned our bathroom. Let me take that back. I'm saying it right, babe. My bathroom. Vanessa made a bathroom just for me. She did in the house. She's like, I want you to use my bathroom. Anyway, so I use for various reasons. Anyway, so I use it, but I cleaned it. She walked in there the other day. She goes, this is your bathroom. It's nasty. It's disgusting. So I cleaned it yesterday. And so I just took time. She was out with people picking strawberries, and I cleaned the bathroom. And I didn't realize how nasty it was. It was pretty bad. But what I mean is, just trying to clean the tub, and I cleaned the bathroom, cleaned the toilet, cleaned all this stuff. And I'm telling you what, when I got done, I took a step back, and I was like, man, this bathroom is clean. Look how clean this bathroom is. I'm like, it's really clean. And then I looked back, and I was just like, man, there was some stuff that I missed. And so I had to go back and clean it again. And I had to go back and clean it again. And then all of a sudden, the Rangers were playing, so I got distracted, and I went to go watch the game, and I left all the cleaning supplies out in the deal. And so Ainsley comes in there, and she goes, Dad, Mom's going to be home here in a little bit. I wouldn't leave that cleaning stuff out. I wouldn't leave that out. When Mom gets home, I go, oh, be quiet. You go do what you need to do. All of a sudden, I heard, bloop. Life 360 said she was right around the corner. I hopped up and I went in the bathroom and I threw all the stuff in. And how she knew I cleaned the bathroom, not because of how it smelled, is because I took her toilet bowl cleaner deal and I threw it in her little closet. And she goes, where is it? Where is it? And I was like, I threw it in the deal. And so that's how she knew I cleaned the bathroom. But as much as I tried to clean the bathroom, I couldn't get it clean. I'm telling you what, that's what your life looked like before Jesus came. No matter how much you try to clean your life up, no matter how much you try to do it on your own, you are not able to clean it the way it needs to be clean. But then there was a Savior that came down from heaven, and he says, I will clean you up, because he says that if you confess your sins, I will be faithful and just to forgive you, not stop there, but cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So you try to clean it up all you want to. And there's not an excuse, man, for you not to clean your bathroom. Clean your bathroom. But I'm saying, let the Lord do it, because it's his breastplate and it's his righteousness. Here's the last thing before we go. The helmet of salvation. Listen, the biggest battle that you will face, ladies and gentlemen, is the one right between your ears, the battle of the mind. I want to recommend a book that I just read for the fourth time this week, is Joyce Meyer's The Battle Field of the Mind. How many of you have read that book? Everybody else, please get it. It is a great book. If you get on Audible, it takes you about 6 hours and 28 minutes. Ask me how I know. It takes about that long to listen to it, but it is a great book that talks about all the things that the enemy comes against your mind, how your thoughts are. That's why the Bible says that you are to take every thought captive. Every thought that, every argument, every thought that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, you're to take that thought, bring it up against what the Word of God says, and then cast that thought down. If it doesn't line up with the Word, if it doesn't line up with the Scriptures, that word, that thought does not need to exist in your mind. You don't have time to keep a thought in your mind that God doesn't think about you. You don't have time for it, because listen, if you start dwelling on those thoughts, that's why Bill Johnson says I'm telling you, I'm always about 6 minutes away from depression. I'm like, really? That's really a short amount of time. Here's the thing. If you dwell on something long enough, you're going to go down that rabbit hole. Satan wants you to do that. And that's why the word says, repent, change the way that you think. What is it that you're thinking about? This is what God's so good in his word. He tells us what to think about. Set your mind on things that are above and not the things of the earth, because you died. Amen. Is what he said. You're hidden in Christ. Set your mind like you would a clock. Set your mind on things that are above. What are you thinking about? What are you setting your mind to? What are you setting your mind upon? What are the things that you're thinking about? Now, I know men, I'm saying this, I say this all the time. We have a gift. We can literally be thinking about nada, nothing. Vanessa would be riding in the car, she'd be like, what are you thinking about? Nothing. Nothing. She's like, come on, you're thinking about something. I'm like, nope. Nothing at all. She goes, you got to be thinking about something. I'm like, seriously, honey, seriously, we have a gift. We can turn stuff off in our mind and just let air blow through there. I'm serious. Just, hello, McFly. I'm telling you, we have a gift. Now, women are always thinking about something. They always got something on their mind. Waking up with something on their mind. I'm telling you what, I can sometimes feel the energy coming off of Vanessa's brain about stuff that she wants me to do for the day. I'm telling you, I can feel it. I'm like, if I don't get up, she's going to tell me. I'm just saying, I can feel it. Because she's a doer. I just feel the gears turning and the oil being, I'm telling you, I just feel it. And then there's me. Nothing. Not one thing. And that's why we make a great couple, because she's trying to find out stuff for me to do, and I'm trying to find out how not to do them. I'm telling you, we work together so great. But the truth is that whatever you set your mind on, that is what you'll become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do you think? What have you set your mind on? That's why the battlefield is there. Because sitting in the enemy, this is what Pastor Terry says, and this is why it's important. We got Free Indeed coming up. You need to sign up for Free Indeed, because we're talking about these things. One of the things that Pastor Terry said, and the first time I've been in Free Indeed so many times, but when he says this, it still gets to me. When he goes, the enemy will put a thought in your head, then come back around and condemn you for having the thought in the first place. That dirty sucker. I'm telling you, he'll sit there and make me have a thought in your head, and then he'll come back and be like, I can't believe you had that thought. I can't believe, look at you. And to condemn you. I'm telling you what, that's why the Bible says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. If you know how he's going to come at you, then you can wait for him. Right? You know how he's going to get, and we're not ignorant. He comes the same way. He comes in through your mind. He comes in through the mind, through your thoughts. And so that's what we fight. If you knew, Lewis, if you knew I was coming to your house and try to take your goods, you knew I was going to try to, wouldn't you be waiting for me? You'd be waiting for me, wouldn't you? And that's what I love about, I'm going to say this because I love about my Hispanic friends. Because if you fight one of them, you're going to fight everybody. You're not just going, isn't that true? You ain't going, and she won't clap her hand, but she will, Daisy will, because it's true. You ain't going to just get one of them. All of a sudden, they come out of everywhere. Some of y'all laughing like, can you say that? I can, because I'm equal opportunity racist. I can say that about everybody. Can you say that, Pastor Chris? Absolutely. Because same thing with black folks. We're going to run away from everything that's got going on. You know what I'm saying? So it's truth. You know this coming. I'm going to be waiting for you. I'll be your huckleberry. I'll be your huckle. I'm telling you what, if I know you coming into my house and I know that I got weapons of our warfare, in this case would be carnal, if I know you were coming, I'll be waiting for you. So what is it, because we have weapons of mass destructions in the spirit, why would we not take up these weapons and fight the enemy that comes against my soul, that comes against my family? It's one thing if I don't know it, but if I know, I'm not going to let you just have my family. I'm not going to let you have my marriage. I'm not going to let you have my finances. I'm not going to let you have our church, because it is the Lord's. And I'm telling you what, if I find out you've been scheming against me, against my family, if it's a war you want, then it's a war you're going to have. Because it's my family belongs to the Lord, and we're going to fight. And so some of us need to get our head out of the sands. We need to get our heads into the game and then fight, because we have an enemy that's trying to do everything he can to take you out. With even thoughts and everything. So that's why you need the belt of truth. You need the breastplate of righteousness. You need your mind, the helmet of salvation. We don't talk about this a lot. And Gerald, one of our elders, talked about just some, and that is the tenses of salvation. And that is, you are saved. How many are you saved? But did you also know that you are being saved? Not only are you being saved, but you also will be saved. So your soul is saved, but my mind is still being saved. Is it true? How many of you think you think perfect thoughts? My mind is still being saved, right? My mind needs to be conformed into the image of Christ. But you think the thoughts of God, my mind is being saved. But also, when he comes, we will be saved. I'll trade in this body with all the roles and the love and all the stuff. I'll trade in this one for, Mom, I'm thinking about my heavenly body. I think I'm going to have a good one, a heavenly body. You know what I'm saying? Where it's going to look good, you know? And I'll be able to wear shorts and stuff. Anyway, the truth is that we will be saved. But right now, God is, there's a process. Everybody say it's a process. We're being transformed. Kevin, behave. We're being transformed. Listen, how do you be transformed? Guys, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say it with me, by the renewing of your mind. Say it again, by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. That word means to make new again. How do you renew your mind? With the word of God. With the word of God. The word of God changes your mind, changes everything. Your mind is being renewed. Why is your mind need to be renewed? It says it so that you can prove that what is acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. The word of God, renewing your mind. There are scriptures that I'm still meditating on this in my life right now that I've learned as a kid, still meditating on. His delight, her delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, who you meditate both day and night. And they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. What does that mean? This is how I meditate on the word day and night. I do. Sometimes when I'm walking in the store, I'm just talking to myself. That's crazy. People talk to themselves. I do. I talk to myself. Sometimes when I'm in the store, I'm just like, meditate upon his word day and night. It means I should be like a tree. What does it mean to be like a tree? I'm going to be like one of those big trees. Lord, I pray that as the word gets down on the inside of my soul, I pray, Lord, that you would help my mind, my soul, my will, my emotions to line up with your word. And Lord, I pray that the word of God would richly dwell in my... David said, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Lord, I want to thank you for your word that is forever settled in my heart, that is forever settled in heaven. I thank you, Lord, that the word of God is living and it's active and it's powerful. Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, cut off any excess in my life that doesn't need to be there. Thank you, Lord, that your word is cutting off everything in my mind that doesn't need to be there, because it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That means, Lord, you know what I'm thinking before I'm thinking. So help me, Lord, to cut off those things, and you discern what it is that I need to meditate upon. Set my mind on things that are above. Lord, help me to help my mind to be set on things above and not on the earth, because I'm dead. I'm a dead man walking, because you have called me to live a life that is dead. And therefore, help me not to be offended today, because I know people who cause offense try to come into my life, but I'm going to focus my attention upon you, and your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank you that your word is illuminating my life, and it's illuminating my eyes, and it's illuminating my heart, and it's illuminating my mind, and it's illuminating my life, and it's causing me to walk down the path that you've called me to walk down. My steps are ordered by the Lord. He delights in my way, and though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, because the Lord will uphold him with his hand. Thank you, Lord, that your word is walking with me, that I'm walking in light of your word. I'm not walking in the light of my problems. I'm not walking in the light of my issues. I'm walking by your word. And your word is forever settled. That means that the heaven and earth will pass away and the grass withers and the flower fades, but your word will remain forever. And if your word remains forever, that means that wherever I go and your word goes, that I'm walking with you, and you are the word of God. And because you are the word of God, I'm walking with you, and you're in me and I'm in you, and we're going to do this thing together. So no matter what comes my way, no matter what the enemy brings my way, thy O Lord, are a shield for me and the glory and lifter of my head. Not only that, but I put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So I don't take off these old clothes. I'm going to put on the garments of praise. So I praise you this morning, God, because you're good. I praise you this morning, God, because you're great. I praise you this morning, God, because you're a good God. My situation may not look good, but you good. I'm looking at you, winking at you, God, because I know you got me today. I know, Lord, that you got good things in store. So my mind is being transformed. It's being changed by your word, and I'm not the same person that I used to be. I am a different
person because I'm in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creature. I'm not the same. My past is cut off. My past has been reviewed. I'm walking in new because he said this. Shall you not see it? Shall you not know it? I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. Not only that, God, but I'm telling you, would you cut off the old garments and would you throw away the old wineskins? Because I need new wine and I need new wineskins, and the new wine that's coming will fill me up to overflow. Matter of fact, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'm going to meditate on his word. You can meditate on all that stuff you want to, but when I put the word in my mind and put the word in my heart and put the word in my spirit, and all of a sudden I begin to see changes in my life because the word of God is there, and I'm going to meditate on it. It actually really means to chew the cud. I'm going to chew it up over and over and over and over again. Somebody say, that's nasty. Okay, whatever floats your boat, but I'm going to chew on the word of God because it is life to my bones. Amen. And strength to my spirit. Where could a young man cleanse his ways? By heeding to the word of God. I told you guys this. Man, I hated it when my parents made me memorize those scriptures when I was a kid. Like, nobody else is doing that. Why do I got to stay here on a Saturday morning and memorize these scriptures? And the truth is now I know. They didn't have a whole lot of money. They couldn't give me a whole lot, but they gave me the word. They go, here, I want you to learn this scripture. Seven chapters a day. They come to the table with a scripture. Why? Nobody else is doing this. Because I said so, that's why. Like, that's not yes, ma'am. You know what I'm saying? But the truth is I can see how the word of God changes everything. When you put the word of God in here, it changes it, but you don't just hear. It's got to make the journey down here. So when you're up against something and the enemy goes, you're not loved, you're not accepted, you're not going to make it, you're through, you're done, you don't have what it takes, you're not that smart, you don't have, what'd you say? I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. Are you kidding me? I'm accepted in the beloved. I could go all day. Listen, I'm just telling you, the truth is you need the word of God, that helmet of salvation, those thoughts. You can fight. I'm telling you, you can fight. Not just fight, but you can fight to live another day, but not just to survive. You can thrive because the enemy's been defeated. And we got the armor of God.